And let's talk more about the latest in China. Joining us is Anna Tangen, Senior Fellow at the Taihe Institute from Beijing. I think probably the best thing, Anna, is just to ask you what you are seeing on the streets of Beijing as we watch these images of protests in Beijing, Shanghai, Hangzhou. We know that there was heavy police presence overnight, which thwarted another night of bigger unrest. But what's the mood like at the moment?
Well, the mood right now is watchful. I mean, people are trying to see what's going to happen. Obviously, very quiet night last night. And that's what's going to be expected going through. It would be surprising if you see a resurgence of these kinds of protests. They're not only difficult in terms of civil unrest, but also it's counterproductive if you're out there in large crowds during a spike. It's greater, more likely than not, that you're going to pass it on to people around you, and then they're going to take it home.
So maybe we don't see much more in the way of protesting, but that doesn't necessarily mean that pressure, what's the force underneath it, is going to subside. Might there not be an increased risk that down the road we could see something on a larger scale?
Doug, that is a concern, but I mean, right now you see the government rapidly moving to defuse the situation. I wouldn't be surprised if they start coming out with metrics that make it more clear what people should expect. One of the things is they have to get a little tougher on vaccines. They have a large elderly contingent who have never gotten the vaccine because China was so successful early its days with only 5,000 deaths. Less than 6,000 deaths total. People were kind of lulled into the sense, well, why should I get a vaccine? I don't know anybody who has it. It doesn't seem to be a risk. Now they need to get those people on board. It can't open up safely without these people being vaccinated. Even the vaccination itself is no guarantee, but it's the best defense in addition to things like Paxlovid and things like that.
So that's obviously the most pressing thing that needs to be completed before China considers reopening and why the government is being so harsh here with their restrictions. In your view, though, with these protests that are building and unrest and people turning to what China calls so-called foreign apps that they have to get around the firewall to use, how does this, the people power, perhaps change the dial? When do you think we could see President Xi back down here?
Well, I don't think you're going to see any kind of back down. I mean, they're going to still be expressing this zero COVID policy, but you even beforehand, the reason we are where we are is because they were adjusting it. They were cutting down the number of days that you had to be in quarantine if you're coming from outside. They were loosening restrictions, taking a much more surgical approach to it. But that resulted in the spike. And as a result, people said, oh my goodness. And then there was the World Cup, where many citizens were seeing people in huge numbers and crowds and stadiums and the players hugging each other and things like that, and they're thinking, well, maybe the pandemic is over. Well, it isn't really over, and the science is still there. They need to get to a metric of about 60% of the people vaccinated within the last 6 months. So either a booster or a complete vaccination. Otherwise, it's just they fear that their medical facilities could be overwhelmed.
Do we need to talk about the efficacy of the vaccines? I mean, in the case of China, some of the vaccines domestically produced have been not as effective as Western vaccines. And I'm thinking in particular of the mRNA shots. A few weeks back, though, Beijing did approve for emergency use the BioNTech vaccine for foreign expats. Is there a point where you can see Beijing maybe looking to or for wider adoption of these Western-produced mRNA vaccines as a way to kind of tackle the situation?
Well, I hope so. I mean, science should not be politicized, and that goes both ways. China has, I think, two or three mRNA vaccines which are in trial, but it's going very slowly. Obviously, one option is to adopt the mRNA vaccines that were done. There is some trepidation. They say, well, it hasn't really been tested. If we approve this, this isn't like a two-party system where we can just sit out the next time because we made a mistake. One party means that there's only one group that you can look at in terms of responsibility. And this is one of the things that's really holding China back, is that there's this fear of doing something wrong. At some point, you do have to take calculated risks. I do think they're getting there. Obviously, they have this new nasal, the spray vaccine that you can take, and be very easy to administer, especially at all of these checkpoints where they have testing. If you can just, go from one place to the next place, or at the same place, get the vaccine, and all you're doing is inhaling it, that may be an option. Obviously, everything should be on the table. But, as I said, people do not want to make mistakes. It's often fatal to your career in China.
Yeah, and just tell us a little bit, I guess, about the other side, though, because we've seen those images of protesters. We know, as I mentioned, censors scrubbing social media of any mentions of unrest. But is there support as well for these lockdowns?
Well, there are. I mean, quite curiously, down in Guangdong, when they started opening up and loosening the number of days that you had to be in quarantine, there was a lot of concern about the number of people coming over from Hong Kong. They said, look, the COVID is rampant in Hong Kong. All you're doing is importing it into China. Mm-hmm. Local officials and people were saying, look, you don't let them in. And this kind of, it's very dangerous because people start looking at foreigners as the problem. And really a global issue.
Aina, thank you for your time. Aina Tangen is Senior Fellow at the Taihe Institute, joining us from Beijing.